From the studios in Eugene, Oregon, it's Oregon Update with your hosts, Cliff and Robin. You can join Cliff and Robin by dialing 646-721-9887 or by email at talk@krbnradio.com. And now, here's your hosts, Cliff and Robin.
United States and the nation respects all faiths. We reject all efforts to denigrate the religious beliefs of others. But there is absolutely no justification to this type of senseless violence. None.
Let me state very clearly, and I hope it is obvious, that the United States government had absolutely nothing to do with this video. We absolutely reject its content and message. America's commitment to religious tolerance goes back to the very beginning of our nation.
And if we got nothing to apologize for, why in the heck are we apologizing? Good afternoon and welcome to the program. I'm Robin and I'm back from vacation and I am charged and ready to go. Watch out, Cliff. You're in for the run for your money. And
Ready to run.
Ready to run. And we hope you'll quickly run to the telephone and give us a call, 646-721-9887. You can join us in the chat room right now. Right now. Do it. Go to blogtalkradio.com/KRBN. And if you are one of those 1,000 plus people per week, by the way, who check us out in the archives and you missed the program live, you can, of course, still participate by sending us an email at talk@krbnradio.com. And, of course, we're available by podcast on iTunes, Twitter, Facebook, and that's about all I'm going to do. I mean, there's too many out there, but just that's enough. So, anyways, hi, Cliff.
How do you? How are you today? Welcome back, and glad to hear you're charged.
I'm charged and ready to rock and roll. And in fact, it's frustrating in a way when you're away, and there's so much going on. Just like the audio I played in right after the intro about the video that is apparently sending a lot of mildly put frustration overseas in the Muslim world, and we're apologizing.
That's even mildly is right. You know, we can sit there and say that we don't have anything to do with it, that the government has nothing to do with it, but it doesn't make any difference if it came from our country, supposedly, regardless of who did it. See, that's the thing. On the internet, you don't know who did it. It could be listed as an American website, but it could be somebody somewhere else in the world that's doing it. It could be somebody in the world that's trying to get us in trouble. I mean, you never know. And that's the idea of trying to lay blame to somebody on the internet is way off base, and yet everybody is doing it. And so for us to apologize for it is just ridiculous. We should keep our mouth shut, just continue on, and let it happen because, you know, I accept that terrible things are happening, not just little things. I don't think really that particular website show really has much of anything to do with it. I think it's a cheap out for them now, for every country that wants to declare war on the United States. It's a cheap way to lay blame, to do something.
Well, I agree.
Bad.
And the consequences of it, which we'll get to, you know, right after we get done with the commercial and stuff. But yeah, there's other consequences locally that is causing it. But anyways, we got that. Cliff wants to talk on the Emmys a little bit. And
light waste.
And the food police, by the way, are at it again. Thanks to our, Michelle Obama, like I said, I don't want to get into it until after the commercial, but I'll just say that usually first ladies, we just kind of go, oh, that's cute. Now go away. But apparently she managed to cause a bunch of problems for a bunch of us. Nancy Pelosi believes that we should just give up right now because Mitt Romney is not going to be president of the United States, and she thinks everybody knows that. Okay, fine. We just forget about all that. we can forget about that all right now. But and also, President Obama says that we can't change Washington from the inside. But we'll get to all that and your phone calls right after these messages from Dancing Dog Cookies.
Good dog, Skippy. Yes, Skippy is a very good dog, and I always enjoy working with him and like to reward him for a great performance. However, I am always hesitant and very selective in the types of treats that I will give him because I worry about his health and only want to give him something that's really good for him. That's why I always reward him with Dancing Dog Cookies, because they are handmade to order from all natural ingredients and preservative-free. Plus, they come in a wide variety of styles and flavors. Skippy loves them, and I'm sure you will too, so check them out at www.dancingdogcookies.com.
Yeah, they're all mad. I'm too whacked up. They're all handmade by Tom and Kathy and Eugene, are available at selective stores in Lane County or on the internet at www.dancingdogcookies.com. And as Cliff would say, check out page two.
That's the only way to find anything. Page one is very pretty. Has all kinds of things on there, none of which have to do with dog cookies. So page two is the only place to find dog cookies.
The site is still under construction, just jump to page two. But check them out; they're really cool and really well done. And plus, they're getting ready to roll out some new products too that are healthy for your dog and Cliff, because he keeps eating the samples.
I want you to know, I just won a car.
Won a car?
Yeah, it says so right here. It says key for Mazda, and it has the key for a car right here on the thing, the actual key. And I have one. Yeah, I want to keep one. I don't know. I doubt very much. Interestingly enough, nowadays it's a little different than it used to be. You want a pre-owned 2000 Mazda 3. You don't bother to give you a new car. They give you a pre-owned car. That's all right. It's newer than mine, but still, I want a new car.
Yeah, just as long as the owner of the car knows that you just gave the car away.
Really? That's interesting. I'm sure I didn't win that, because you got to scratch off a number and then find out if it matches another number. And then there's five different things that you could have won, one of them being that pre-owned car. And I'm sure that it says you're guaranteed to win one of the five. Well, I'm sure that one of the five is probably a Walmart gift card valued at $5, but whatever. I just wanted to know that I won. Or something.
Yay! Speaking of, since you brought that up, even though this wasn't on our list, you probably have seen the email that says, win, or you have won a $1,000 Walmart gift card. Well, unfortunately, and I'm rushing through my notes here. I know somebody that actually fell for that one. And what it was that there was, for $19.95, you can get this $1,000 Walmart gift card by subscribing to these magazines. Well, the $19.95 is that you are agreeing to a 3-year contract and you have 7 days to call and cancel. Well, the 7-day period passed, and so now they can't cancel the card, and they're being billed for $498 and threatened to go to collections in order to get it. Walmart, of course, says that we don't offer these types of scandals, and the company that is the subscription company for the magazine, which I don't have the name, but right in front of me, and I apologize, is saying that we had nothing to do with that. But when you do a search for the company name, there's a lot of instances, including reports of the Oregon Attorney General's Office and Better Business Bureau, that people have found this magazine company through this Walmart promotion.
Really? Really? They've been doing that for years. It must have been 14, 15 years ago that I was living with my grandmother for a period of time after I came back up from California. And I was constantly on the lookout for her, because she was getting involved in one of these things. Because that's what, for older people are the biggest prey for that kind of idea. But I mean, they believe what they read. Of course, if you read it carefully, you'll find in the small print down there that it isn't what it says it is, and consequently you have to be careful. But it's really hard. I know they're sending this stuff all the time on my cell phone. You get it on the email. I just don't bother with any of those things, because if it sounds too good to be true, guess what? It's too good to be true.
Exactly. And my advice to people, when you get one of those cards, whether it's Walmart or whoever, if you're not sure, call the company themselves. Like, call Walmart, call the business, you know, you can look it up on the internet, call the corporate headquarters and go, hey, I just got this. Is it legit? And they'll more than happily tell you yes or no.
Well, yeah, that's for sure. Because if it is yes, they're making money on it. If it's no, they don't want to get stuck with stuff, a reputation like that. So they'll quickly stuff it for you.
Exactly. So it's always best to check it out and not be a victim. Unfortunately, this person I know of that, basically, now they got a new problem because, they're going to have to, they're going to have collection agencies and everything else involved. And so I'm not sure how we're going to get around that one.
Collection agency, if they can actually turn it into a collection agency, they can mess up your credit. Now, see, I have never had that problem. I could just not pay them because I never had any credit anyway, so I didn't worry about it.
Exactly. But the whole point is, this is the KRBN, consumer alert. So just be aware, just be smart, and just remember, like Cliff says, if it's too good to be true, chances are it is.
That's right. I just stay away from things like that, because nobody's going to give you something for nothing. There's just no way they can do that, because, first of all, if this is a large-scale mailing or a large-scale email that's being sent out, they can't afford to do that. It would cost them $1 million. But the thing is, if they're paying you, if you have to pay to get a prize, that's just like this I won a car here thing idea. Well, in this particular case, I don't have to pay anything, but I'm guaranteed to win something. Well, the least thing I could win is a $5 gift certificate at Walmart. They could do that, and that wouldn't cost them much at all. But in this particular case, at least it is legitimate, so I don't have to pay anything at all. If I really want something big, you have to pay for it. And oftentimes, with the stuff that I was giving my grandmother heads up on, would say something like, for only $19.95, you can win this prize, and the least amount of a prize was $1. So for $19.95, you can win $1. Well, that's what you're going to win, unfortunately, and not very often anything other than that, and consequently, that's not good.
Exactly. By the way, the name of the company, the magazine company, is called General Subscription. And that's what it leaks into. So if you do a search for Walmart gift card and general subscription, you'll see a lot of complaints regarding them. So, for liability purposes, I encourage people to, look it up. Don't just take my word for it, but, be aware that this is what's going on. And speaking of aware and consumer alerts, we're getting close to, we're about, 40 days to the election now?
Yep. This is an important election, I must tell you, because first of all, I've discovered that I'm kind of up in the air. I mean, I don't know which person I want to go for, because it's a lesser of two evils that we're up to. We've got three debates, I believe, to talk about the different things between the two people, actually, and then they were going to fourth debate. But I want to hear these debates, because I think they can make a huge difference. That's, what's going to happen? How are they going to talk to each other? How are they going to answer the questions? That's just important. So we've got these three debates that are coming up next, and that's the important thing to listen to, or pay attention to, is the debates themselves as to what's going to happen. And that's October 3rd is the first one. So be prepared and take a listen and take a go to television or whatever you want. You can usually watch them or listen to them on the internet. They make them available. So it's important that you pay attention to those debates, because that's going to make a big difference.
Exactly. And the question that we ask is, how's that hope and change working out for you?
I'm not going to. I don't know if I want to get caught in that or not, because that's. I've been hoping we'd get some change, but whatever.
Exactly. Well, and of course, Obama is saying now that in his interview with Univision, I got a quick clip of that. You can't change Washington from the inside. Now, you can take that either way you want to take it. Here's the clip.
I think that I've learned some lessons over the last 4 years, and the most important lesson I've learned is that you can't change Washington from the inside. You can only change it from the outside. That's how I got elected, and that's how the big accomplishments like healthcare got done, was because we mobilized the American people to speak out. That's how we were able to cut taxes for middle-class families. So something that I'd really like to concentrate on in my second term is being in a much more constant conversation with the American people so that they can put pressure on Congress to help move some of these issues forward.
Well, I hate to say this, Mr. Obama, but, I agree with you in a way. It was the American people, but we were tired of the Bush regime and the same old in Washington. And the unfortunate thing is that we hired you to do a job.
Okay, let's look at this thing carefully. He says that's how he got the health care thing passed. He didn't ask anybody outside of Washington. He didn't. Do you, as an American citizen, remember ever being called, ever being questioned, ever being anything about this thing at all? It just happened. You all of a sudden, he was in office, and then all of a sudden this thing was put forth. He didn't ask any impression or the opinion of anybody. I would defy anybody who was asked their opinion. It didn't happen. That's just a big fat lie.
Well, in fact, as I'm digging through research here real quick, Obama promised that anything that was going to come out through Washington, there was going to be a delay for transparency where we could look at it and talk about it. But Obamacare was rushed through, made with huge, 2,400 pages that a lot of our representatives decided that they didn't even want to even bother with. Like say we have to pass the bill to know what's in it or why read the bill. And now we're stuck with it. So and also speaking of the budget that Obama submitted, it was voted, 498-0? Not one person voted in favor of it. So the point is that we hired. Go ahead.
What budget did he submit? I don't recall him submitting any budget. Maybe at the very first he did, and got snubbed in the process, and then he didn't bother after that. He just goes these continuing resolutions to try to continue it on and put it ahead and stick us in hole for another $1 billion every year. I don't see him accomplishing anything other than really he's killing us. He's putting us under. He's digging a big hole and sticking us in it. And we're all going in like idiots.
Exactly. And that's the thing, too, that I do not understand is that, okay, I try to, it's obvious that, Cliff and I are both Romney supporters. Although, I don't know if I can speak for Cliff or not. The only reason why I'm a Romney supporter is because of the lack of options.
That's about the only thing. Because right now it's a lesser of two evils, and so far, and until I really want to see these debates, because that can tell me whether or not which is the lesser of two evils. I've been able to see in the past and now some things that Obama has done, most of which he has claimed to do that he hasn't done. They were done before or after or by someone else. It's just a simple the healthcare thing it's going to hurt more than 6 million people instead of the 4 million that was originally talked about. It's now 6 million. We keep finding out things like that as we go along. Everything is worse than originally we had decided it was, and I'm just it's very scary.
Exactly. I totally agree with you on that one. And like I say, either way, we're going to get stuck with some things we don't like. Personally, I'd almost rather that somebody just go in there and just do nothing.
Almost. That's almost the preference. But, you know, I really think that Romney has got a different way because he does have a better handle on business than let's face it, he has a better handle on everything Obama does because Obama didn't do anything before he became president. Romney has done a lot of things, and every one of them is better. Now, a lot of people are really hollering about the what he would do is, overseas for different things, how he would handle this and how he would handle that as far, because he doesn't have that much experience in handling things outside our country, let's put it that way. But I still think he has a better handle on common sense than Mr. Obama does, so I think he'd do a better job any way you look at it.
Well, apparently also Obama does know how to put together a budget. This is from The Hill. I just had the date in front of me, I lost it. May 16th, 2012, which apparently it says budget resolution based on Obama's 2013 budget failed to get any votes in the Senate on Wednesday. In a 99-0, all of the senators present rejected the president's blueprint, which is the second year in a row the Senate has voted down Obama's budget. So, and I guess in 2012, it's 97-0. So that's not a very good track record.
And this is a Democratic Senate. This is people who are supposedly on his side.
Exactly. So if his own party is saying, hey, you know.
And the thing is, okay, I can understand it if it was the House, because, you know, maybe they're not all on his side, and a few people say no. But we've got people who are on his side telling him no, and this is going to change, because I believe this particular election is going to make a difference in who's in charge of the Senate and who's in charge of the House, and it's going to go to the Republicans more than anything. And if you thought it was a trouble getting things passed the way it was, it's going to be impossible to get things passed. And, of course, that doesn't make any difference to him because he passes them anyway. He goes on with things whether they pass or not. And we've had this happening for forever. Why are we sitting here on our butts and allowing this to happen? Why are we letting him stay in there? We should have had him ousted a long time ago.
Well, that gets back to what I was saying, preaching for the 2 years we've been doing this program, is that we should borrow from other countries. I mean, yeah, we have the Constitution, which has been challenged more than any other time since the Revolution. But we should have it set up that once you're in office, we have an easier way of getting rid of you. So that way it holds the candidates, it holds the elected officials more to the fire, because otherwise, you know, as we've talked about before, people are coming into office, they're going in with a little bit of money in their pocket and coming out multimillionaires, doing whatever they want to do, and we can't do anything about it. And all we're doing is begging, Congress, or we're begging somebody to do this, and we're treating the presidency as if it is a monarchy. You know, the president made this change, the president made that change. Of course, recently with all the executive orders, he's been doing that change. But I think what's going to be the president's Achilles heel is the Fast and Furious thing with the his executive privilege is what's going to hang him. Either that, or somebody's going to come in and say, I had sex with the president, and, you know, I like Monica Lewinsky's coming back and putting down Clinton again.
Yeah, that's too bad.
Really.
It really is. Yeah, it's too bad that we have to go to that extent to try to do something about it. But, I mean, the thing is, I agree with you at this particular point. We should find a way to boot him out of office right now. There are certain ways to do it. And rather, the thing is, they take too long. I agree with you. At this point, right now, of course, we don't have to worry about it because we only got 40 days and we got to vote, and then we can get rid of him anyway. And I really do think that it's important that you take a look at the information that we have available to us and look at it very carefully and then make a decision when you're voting. Because I really am afraid of what the polls are saying, because I don't necessarily want to believe the polls, but the polls are saying that Obama might win.
Well, even according to the 7-Eleven Cup poll, Obama is in the lead. In fact, they're saying that that typically it's the teenagers that are voting more for Obama. The 7-Eleven Cup poll that they have coffee cups, one Republican, one Democrat, and, you know, who you support for. They also have one that's green, too, and I was teasing them. That must be Ron Paul's. But but they're saying that, yeah, based on the last 3 years that 7-Eleven did their cup poll, that it's been more accurate than a lot of these post polls out there. And, again, I very seldom have met anybody openly that's willing to say, you know, I support Obama because I'd like to talk with them and also encourage people who are Obama supporters to come on this program, 646-721-9887, and convince us. Why do you like Obama? Because everything that I see out here, and I try to, I mean, granted, I go by a lot of the news services and the articles and whatever, but I also try to do multiple sources and try to hunt it down and get as much of the facts as I can based on the time that I have with my 60 to 70 hour a week job to be as accurate as possible on this program. And from what I've seen, I mean, just like one of the things we're going to talk about a little bit here is the Obamacare. We've been saying ever since the concept, before the bill was passed, that Obamacare is not free health care. But yet when it was first introduced, the hospitals were overwhelmed by people coming in for their free health care. We've been harping on for a year and a half about the penalties if you do not have qualifying health care. And those penalties, they can range from the first year, around $95, and from the second year, on, it gets up into the thousand. First year is $95 in 2014, $325 in 2015, raising up to 2.5% of your income, or a maximum of $2,085 per family in 2016 if you do not have, now here's the key word again, qualifying health care. Now we're seeing a trend here in the United States where, I forget, it might have been Massachusetts or whatever, one of the governors was saying that under their programs they've actually cut health care costs by raising the deductible. Well, what I'm seeing here, including the insurance that I have with my company has a $2,300 deductible, and it resets every fiscal year. Yeah, I don't use it because I can't afford it, because I have to pay 100% of that. So that means that lab work or anything else that's preventive care, I can't do it. So what's that going to mean in the long run? It's going to mean in the long run things are not going to be taken care of, and then the health care is going to be used as catastrophic health care instead of preventive health care.
And that's really sad. That really is. Really is sad. At this particular point, 6 in 10 voters think that Obama is going to win these debates, and I really don't think that's going to be the case. Again, I keep pushing and pushing and pushing. We only got a few days. October 3rd is the first debate, and I really, really advise you to see it. Take a look at that and find out. Maybe he will, but I just can't believe that he has the answers. So the only problem is he doesn't hesitate to lie about it. He'll give you the answer whether it's true or not.
Well, the one thing that Obama, and I've always said this, he's a good used car salesman. He knows how to, despite the teleprompter, he knows how to fill out the audience and tell them what they want to hear.
Yeah, yeah. That's too bad.
And he makes it all Yeah, he makes it sound all warm and fuzzy, and he throws the jokes out there, and that's all good and well. But, you know, the other things that I look at, like reading between the lines, for example, is like the open mic event in Russia. He didn't tell the representative there that if I get elected, I'll have more flexibility. He said, when I get reelected, you know.
Well, that could be just wishful thinking, I suppose, but who knows? That, you know, you can't really tell for sure because I just don't. You know, Romney is getting himself in trouble because he doesn't want to lie. And I really have a whole lot more respect for him as a person than Obama, because it's so obvious every time Obama opens his mouth and opens it and makes any kind of a thing on television, especially to the entire United States, he is not telling the truth. He says things that, you know, I've done this, I've done that, or I'll do this, I'll do that, and if you have any brain at all, you can tell that he hasn't followed through with any of these things, and that's exactly what it's going to be in the future. So why should we look for anything different? You know, just what's the old bit about, if he says it over and over again, it doesn't make it right.
Exactly. Well, and like I say, look at his record, look how he's handling everything. In fact, he's already went around the Constitution. He's already done a bunch of executive orders. They're already complaining that they're complaining basically that he's doing things without Congress. I saw a photo recently that there were him, Nancy Pelosi, and a couple others were standing in front of a huge American flag, and the Pledge of Allegiance was going on, and of course everybody else had their hand over his heart and over their heart, and Obama's standing there with his hands down by his side in front of him.
Yeah, I don't know. He just flies in the face of everyone, as far as that goes.
Well, the thing is that we assume that when we elect somebody, especially into a high office, you know, like a senator, a congressman, or even, you know, president, vice president, et cetera, we automatically assume that they are there for the best interests of us and the country. We don't question that. Why, for all the ridicule that it takes and being under the microscope, and like Romney, you know, they went back and found that he, in his high school years, got in trouble. Why would anybody want to really put themselves under that type of scrutiny to be, you know, to get a job that pays, what is it now, $400,000 a year, except for the prestige of being the, you know, the CEO of the highest level in the land, so to speak. But, you know, we go in there with the assumption that a patriotic duty for the country, not for self-serving. Well, as we've seen, especially in this year, again, to remind people, Martha Stewart went to jail for insider trading. Nancy Pelosi did it legally because under the Constitution, as long as she is still within office, she is not subject to arrest.
Yeah, that's ridiculous. That goes back to the 28th Amendment, as far as I'm concerned, because we really need to consider that. If it's good for the goose, it's good for the gander, or something like that. I mean, if we have to live with it, they have to live with it, and that's got to change.
Exactly. I mean, the intent of that being in the Constitution was, when the Constitution was developed, they wanted to have the people that wrote the Constitution, John Hancock and all them, to be free of prosecution for doing that. The intent was not that they could just go out and skirt any law they want to, that the people would normally be arrested for.
Goodness, we're losing you.
You're losing
Hello?
Me. Hello. So
I don't know if she's gone or if I'm gone, so we'll continue on, I guess. I'm not...
Well, I think I'm still here according to the monitor. No, maybe I'm not still here, Cord. Oh, there it is. Yeah, I'm still here, so it must be Cliff that's gone bye-bye. But so anyways, Cliff, are you still there? Okay, well, apparently Cliff's going to have to dial back in here. Let's see here. Just one moment. Cliff, are you still there? I hear breathing, but I don't hear anything else. So anyways, I'm going to continue
1, 2, 3, 4. I'm here.
Are you there
right
now?
I'm not hearing much of you. You're cutting out horribly bad.
Okay.
I guess I'll have to try dialing in again.
Yeah, just hang on just a moment, please. Okay, yeah, there's like a 15-minute delay on the monitor. I'm still coming through, and it sounds okay on my end. Cliff, you want to go ahead and call back in?
I'll do that.
Okay. And while you're doing that, I'm going to go ahead and open up the phone line real quick because we have a caller, area code 503. Welcome to the program.
Hello? Can you
hear
me?
Hi, caller. How you doing? I can hear you.
You can hear me. That's amazing. I got a new phone. Wonder how that works.
Yes. So how you doing, Bob?
Working hard, staying out of trouble, lying a lot, just like normal. I have a comment. You open for a comment?
I am open for a comment. You are live. Go for it. Don't hesitate.
Good.
There's only like about a million people listening to you, so no pressure.
Oh, that's fine. Don't say blank or anything like that, right?
Right.
Right, okay. Yesterday, I was at a farmer's market in Portland, Oregon. I went to a Starbucks and got one of the hot chocolate or one of their mocha chocolate Bitty Whiz bands, and
uh-huh.
I heard a conversation going on. Starbucks will not send coffee to our troops in Iraq or Afghanistan because don't believe in war, and they won't. If that's a true statement, I'll tell you what. I would tell all your listeners out there to boycott Starbucks.
And that was Starbucks.
About that. That was Starbucks. That's correct.
Okay. Yeah, we'll have to search and verify that. But it kind of gets back to a point I've made several times is if you listen to old-time radio, like Jack Benny and all that type of era, when we were at war, I believe that was World War II, you would hear a lot of times where they were asking the people or to get involved, you know, by saving your kitchen cooking grease to help the war effort. You know, where the people are more directly involved in the war effort, whether they support it or not. We're supporting our troops.
That's
I think
correct.
We need to get
support
back into
the troops. That's exactly,
exactly
right. Support our troops. As you know, I'm ex-Army, so it's been a lot of years there.
Yeah.
And we had Bob Hope, you know. I mean, we had all kinds of support, even though everybody in the United States was protesting the Vietnam War, we had tons and tons and tons of American support. Now, Afghanistan is the same kind of situation as Vietnam was, isn't it? Right? Okay, so,
right.
Bottom line, if our troops, our people, our blood being shed over there, and if they don't care what country it is, they don't have to like the war, but they got to like the people, the troops, our U.S. forces. Would you agree with that?
Oh, I totally agree with you, and that's kind of my point, because unless you actually know somebody that's over there, it doesn't affect you, you know, except for hearing it on the news. It's like, well, how does that affect me? It doesn't. It
well,
should.
That's the kid that lives
but
next door. That's Joe Brown's son is over there, you know.
Uh-huh.
I mean, it's a principle of thing. We are the United States. We support our efforts no matter what. Yes, we might protest them, and that's fine. You got the freedom to do that. But bottom line, they're there. They're doing what they're told. Therefore, they should be supported by our country. Would you agree with that?
Exactly. And since we're still a volunteer military, you know, imagine, you know, back in the days of the draft and whatever, you know, where the kids are, what was it, when you turned 18, you had to register? You still got to register, but you had the fear of being actually drafted and being forced in that situation. But the men and women that actually, you know, like you, and again, thank you for your service, that put your life on the line. In fact, you're suffering, you can share this if you wish to, you're suffering because it's affecting you to this day because of what you did over there, health-wise,
that's
right?
That's correct.
Yeah.
I'm sorry to change the subject. Now, I got a roll, so I'm going to put you back on the speaker and listen to you. Talk to you later.
All right. Well, thank you for your call, Bob. Yeah, that's the whole point, like Bob was saying, is that Bob went over there. He got exposed to Agent Orange and is suffering the effects of it to this day. But, you know, because of his patriotic, his patriotism is why he went over there and put his life on the line. So, but that's what I'm saying. We're isolating too much from the day. Cliff, are you back?
I think I am. Are you hear me?
I can hear you.
Ah, amazing. Took long enough to get back here. I had to boot it up about 3 times to get here at all. So continue on.
Yeah, you missed a caller.
Oh, he's gone away?
Yeah, it was Bob. He had to go back to work, but he's listening. So thank you, Bob, for calling. I hope you call again. But yeah, we're just talking about he was mentioning, and again, we need to verify this, that Starbucks is refusing to send coffee overseas because they don't back the war. But he said he heard a conversation about that, but we need to verify that. But speaking of, Bob just called in on 646-721-9887, and you can also do the same if you happen to be listening right now. Again, you can still participate in the program by sending us an email, talk@krbnradio.com. We always like your comments and suggestions and any show ideas that you have, especially if there's something you see in the news that just gets you so furious you want somebody to talk about it, especially if the terrestrial talk shows are not talking about it, which is a lot of times the case. And, of course, better yet, you can, you know, give us a call, 646-721-9887. We promise we won't bite much and try to be nice to you.
We're fighting for. If you say something that's still to see, I'd love to bite. That's, you know, if you decide not to talk to us, that's fine. But I'd love to take a bite out of whatever we're talking about.
That's true. And I want to get kind of, before you had a little communications problem, I want to continue on with the food police thing and what Michelle Obama is doing. There's been a lot of talk recently about the limitation in the calories of the food, and I think I already rambled off what the calorie limitation is. That was the final rule that came out on January 25th, 2012, by USDA. It's also combined into what's called the Healthy Kids Act, and which is supposed to, the final standards are to make sure that they're encouraging parents to do this at home, to ensuring parents or students are offered both fruits and vegetables every day, essentially increasing offerings of whole grain rich foods, offering only fat-free and low-fat-free milk variety, limiting calories based on the age of the children, being served in to ensure proper portion size, and increasing focus on reducing the amount of saturated fats trans fat.
We've got to decide who what's good and what's not. Now, you say offering fat-free milk. That's actually terrible, because if you offer fat-free milk, if you take all of the fat out of the milk, all you're left with is sugar. And so you're having kids drink sugar water, and that's not any better than the whole thing. So whole milk is actually the way to go. At least you get all of the different things in it, and they're naturally, because what we're doing, we're feeding them unnatural things. That's not good. And almost all of the stuff that we've modified to make it better, that's a matter of opinion as to what's better. So let's feed them regular food and have it over with. Now, I can accept perhaps not feeding them as much, but that's not true either, because that may be the only nourishment they get all day. Let's not cut it down. Either that or there's a lot of kids that are not having good meals and not eating good food. And the ones that I don't think are in trouble. The adults are watching what they're doing. They're going to be eating okay anyway, and they're not going to be that hungry.
Well, again, it's I guess, new meaning to Uncle Sam, where they're going to get involved in your life. These new standards, by the way, are expected to cost $3.2 billion over the next 5 years, with less than half of the estimated cost on the proposed rule, and is just one of the five major components of the Healthy Hunger Free Kids Act, which is now being implemented in order to reform school nutrition. Now, I'd like to remind people of a situation back in February where at the Carolina Elementary School, students' lunch was confiscated because the turkey and cheese, banana, potato chips, and apple juice lunch, packed lunch that the parent gave their child, did not meet the U.S. Department of Agriculture's guidelines, and the child's lunch was confiscated and replaced with chicken nuggets.
You know, I that's one of the things we need to talk about, because one of the things that I discussed last week was the fact that these people who make decisions as to what we can and cannot eat, first of all, the particular thing that we were making decisions is the size of a soda pop. Well, that doesn't mean anything, because you can go in and buy 2 16-ounce soda pops and get away with it as same as you could otherwise. So it's just how you sell it and how it doesn't mean anything to make that kind of laws. You can't enforce that kind of laws. Now, in this particular case in schools, you can, but not all schools do you get your lunch from the schools. There are some schools, still some schools in this world, where the kids are turned out and turned loose for lunch, and they can go and buy whatever they want at a local store. And that's what I did when I was in school. I didn't very often eat. In fact, I don't think I hardly ever eat a school lunch. I either took my lunch or basically went out and bought my lunch at the neighborhood store, and I could buy any candy that I wanted to and eat it that way, which is probably one of my problems is with obesity. I've had a terrible time trying to keep my weight down, and that starts from way back when I was a kid. I could go out and buy what I wanted, but it's you're not going to do it by controlling this 750-calorie a day lunch thing. That's not your kids. You're going to go home and eat lunch, or they're going to eat right after they get home from school. They're going to get what they want, regardless. And so, to do it that way, just let's make it available, good food for them at school. We perhaps don't need to sell them soda pop. That's fine. It can be diet soda pop or whatever. Juices, apple juice. It's just as bad as any other soda pop. I mean, there's just as much sugar in apple juice or orange juice as there almost is in a regular soda pop. So let's make a little more logical in what we're giving the kids to eat, and let them make a decision of their own. Let the adults make a decision, that the adults that are in charge of them, which is not the school, their parents, let's put it that way, may have a decision in what they eat and what they don't eat.
Excuse me. Well, in addition to that, the human body is an interesting machine in the fact you can go ahead and limit what you give it. However, if it doesn't have the nutrition, if it's not getting the nutrition from the food, it's going to go into starvation mode, and it's going to start storing, you know, building up fat. So, like, you could go on a salad diet, per se. And I'm just assuming, because I'm not an expert in nutrition like Michelle Obama is. Oh, wait, I don't think she is. But anyway. But you could starve yourself, and the body, you know, taking in less calories, but the body's going to go into starvation mode and start storing fat. And personally, and this is only my theory, I've got nothing to back this up because it's just a theory, I think one of the reasons why we're seeing more obesity, fat people, more than we are now is, one, because in schools, because of liability, they're taking away a lot of the exercise equipment, you know, the playground equipment. Of course, I still don't understand, you take away a swing set because you're afraid a kid's going to get hurt and replace it with a skateboard park. Secondly, they're changing the foods so that I don't think the foods are as nutritious. One of the reasons why I got to thinking about that is because over the last 5 years, if I have a steak or something or some meat, I get sick. When I moved to North Dakota for a year and a half and lived on the farm, they raised their own beef, and they were certified natural. It was great. It tasted good, and I never got sick until I came back to Oregon and started eating the meats here, and I started getting sick again. So what are they doing to the foods? Like I say, it's only a theory on my part. I got nothing to back it up. But, it just kind of makes sense. If your body's not getting the nutrition it needs, it's going to start storing fat.
Well, look at so many cases of children that are overseas in different countries and that are starving to death, and they're usually fat. They usually have big bellies, and that's not what we want.
No. Exactly. We have about 40 minutes remaining in the program. 646-721-9887. I wanted to also talk real quick here about the thing that's going on overseas with the video and the apology that was played at the beginning of today's program. This is that video is paid by yours and mine's tax dollars and is being presented overseas as an apology for the video. And what's interesting from what I'm hearing on the talk shows and also in the newspapers is that by us apologizing and putting blame is causing problems here at home. Just like President Obama, who brought to light the Trayvon Martin case, which otherwise would have just been another shooting that happened instead of George Zimmerman being prosecuted the way he was. This is according to CNN. Cindy Lee Garcia, one of the actresses in The Innocence of Muslims, the anti-Islam film which ignited a firestorm, is suing the producers of the film, Natasha Brasley Nicola. Why can't anybody just be named Smith? Claiming that she is a victim of fraud, invasion of privacy, and misappropriation of her likeness. Ms. Garcia also filed a suit against YouTube in a 17-page brief because YouTube refused to remove the video from its video sharing site. In a statement, the lawsuit is not an attack on the First Amendment or the right of Americans to say what they think. Her complaint is that Ms. Garcia has in no way consented for her performance and likeness to be used in such an offensive film. The lawsuit is also seeking conference and punitive damages against the producer for invasion of privacy, fraudulent and intentional inflection of emotional distress, as Ms. Garcia has lost her job, her privacy, and is also receiving death threats.
Well, I personally think that we should, we being Google or whoever is involved, should take that particular website down everywhere, not just overseas, but just simply absolutely everywhere, because it's already created huge amounts of problems. But the thing is, it's already done. It's already caused the problems, and now what do we do? Our problem is that our president is completely lost. He doesn't know what to do about it. And as he doesn't know what to do about most things in his particular genre, and that's why we've got to change him, because he is in over his head. He doesn't know how to handle the budget, because that's obvious the way he's handled a budget. He has not passed a budget. Nobody has even considered passing his budget. He doesn't know how to handle the problems overseas, whether they be this one or others. He doesn't. What have we got? Is there 20 countries? 20 countries where we have people that hate our guts. Why are we there? Why are we spending money there? Why are we spending time there? Why are we sending people there? Why aren't we pulling people out of everybody out of the country? I mean, not just public, but everybody out of the country, because there's no reason for us to be there if they hate our guts, and there's an indication that they don't hate our guts at this particular point. So we've got a president there who not only is a lame duck, but he's totally lost as to what to do about anything, and that's not because he hasn't said that. He's proven that. It's been obvious that he doesn't know what he's doing, because he isn't doing it.
Well, and what's interesting is that, the name of the countries that right now are worrying about nuclear threat, and the one country that is getting that has the centrifuges and stuff. Again, I apologize. The name of the country is eluding me at this moment. But it's like, which is it?
Iran.
Okay. We don't need to have nuclear. All we have to do is just send, is make a video.
Yeah, really.
We'll,
that's
we'll attack them with Hollywood.
Well, unfortunately, that doesn't help Israel, because Israel may be attacked by with literal bombs before long, and so they've got to do something about it. And here we are sitting here. That's another thing, that, that the president doesn't have any idea what to do, how to handle it. You know, his idea of going in and talking to this little itty-bitty country, as he calls it, is impossible, because you don't – they're not – the people in charge of that itty-bitty country have no idea about what he wants and what, and nor do they care. So consequently, they're going to go ahead and build their bombs if they want to. Israel is the one that's going to be the ones to hurt from it, and we aren't backing them at this particular point either. When we talk about going into Egypt and keeping sending money to Egypt because they have a good resolution with Israel, they don't have it anymore. We aren't paying attention to what's going on. We've got to get out of that part of the country and out of that part of the world, rather, and do it as quickly as possible and bring all of our people home. I mean, we don't have to – we could put them on our own borders and have worry about them, our borders for a change instead of someone else's. And but we've got to get out of this this possibility of declaring war against us everywhere else in the world except, you know, the Arab world is we weren't ever going to convince anybody that we were the leaders of the Arab world. It isn't going to happen.
Well, and the thing is that, you know, the apologizer in chief is when you come out wimpy, especially being one of the leading superpowers, and then you come out and say, we're like Obama did. He came out and said that we're going to hunt down the people that were involved in the three Americans that were killed recently, that it doesn't have any meat. Doesn't have any. It's just like, yeah. And just like with this thing here, apologizing for the video, it's like, okay, I'm sorry. I don't mean to be cruel. But if you're going to riot because somebody made a video, grow up.
Well,
I mean, how does that even happen? Is this like, oh, Cliff, you know, somebody, Ron Howard made a film. I'm so offended about, what do you say we get the gang together and we go bust out windows?
Yeah, and let's go get Ron Howard, who was 8 when he made it and is now 40 and doesn't accomplish anything anyway. The point is, our president isn't aware of what to do about any of these problems. And he, not only that, he doesn't have the age nor the intelligence to go back and draw on past experiences of anything, let alone actually overseas happenings, to draw to an end to this. At least Romney is going to have an age advantage. He's going to have the experience of a lot of different things in various different countries. It's not just in America that he's had this experience, and he's going to be able to accomplish something that's perhaps more logical than we have on board now. And consequently, we've got to do something to change what's happening. What we've got in there now isn't going to change anything. It's not going to make any difference. No matter how hard he tries, because he hasn't got a clue.
Well, I got a suggestion to offer him. How about this? For one, while you guys are over there, you know, beating up yourselves because of over a video, we're just going to sit back and kind of watch you in amusement and maybe even laugh a little bit that you're acting so stupidly. However, our press release will be, if it comes to a point that if you make it our problem, it's going to be our problem, and we're going to react forcefully on our problem, kind of like following like with why nobody messes with Russia. But also we're going to politically encourage the leaders of the countries that have these riots to come up to the plate and do something about it.
Well, we've got 20 different countries that are involved there. They could possibly all get together and decide to do something about us and wipe us out. That's why we shouldn't do that. I mean, why do we want to antagonize any of them at this particular point? Just let it go. We've got to bow out of this thing gracefully, if that's possible, instead of antagonizing anyone about it at this particular point. We've already done that without even trying.
Well, let me ask you this then. Who elected us the world leader?
Well, that's my point. I don't think anyone did. We've decided to accept that position because we are the largest economy in the world, or at least we have been. We aren't necessarily at this point because we've had so much. So much has been lost in the last 4 years, whether it's the President Obama's fault or whether it was something that came before, neither here nor there, we've lost it. And consequently, we aren't the most powerful country as far as the economy is concerned, or anything for that matter. Even our educational system has gone downhill by a long ways. I keep hearing this all the time on the television. But the point is, we've got to sit back and try and get out of that. I mean, we just can't continue aggravating 20 different countries the way we are and get away with it, because sooner or later they're going to get mad and they're going to do something about it, and that's where we're going to be in trouble. Because, you know, I at this particular point I believe that we have more power than all 20 of them put together, but at the rate we're going, we're not going to have. Do you realize that we are way behind in keeping up our roads and our bridges and things like that? We've lost out of that, and we're not spending our money on that we're spending this huge amounts of money that he's putting out there, QE3 or whatever you want to call it. We're not spending it on the right things. We're just throwing it away, and we're not getting accomplishments in there. So consequently, we've got to do something. But basically, let's get out of the Egyptian people's face and let them have their war and let them do their thing and shut up. Are you there?
Am I there now?
Ah, there you are.
There I am. Okay, I got three things going.
Oh, okay.
Okay, yeah. Skype fell out on me, and it's listed in the studio for three different times. So, yeah, technical issues, but it happened right at 2:00, so it as planned. Gotta love the broadcast, but in either case, no, the. Like I said, who elected us the world police? And what's even worse is we can't even take care of ourselves. And, you know, we've got hunger, we've got high unemployment, we've got open borders, we've got a whole list of things, and yet somehow we think we have the right to, like the video that I played at the beginning of the program, to come out and tell these other countries how to act, how to live. I was going to say wouldn't. I don't think now that we would put up with that if the reverse was true. But then again, like I said, there's talk that of suspending part of the First Amendment if you say something that may offend Muslims.
Well,
I agree with the fact that, like Cliff and I were talking off air, First Amendment rights, you know, you got the right to say anything you want. You do not have the right to go into a crowded theater and yell fire unless there's actually a fire. So like they said on Spider-Man, you know, with great power comes great responsibility. But the whole point is that otherwise, according to the Constitution, government cannot limit our free speech.
Well, our government cannot limit our free speech. However, that doesn't give us the privilege of going into other countries and exercising our free speech, which is going to be detrimental to them. I mean, that's what's happening. We figure that our free speech is supposed to extend to everywhere in the world. That's not necessarily the case. We should be working under the auspices of other people's governments. In other words, if it's a law in the land in Egypt, we should live by it. We should not just try to press it for the fact that it isn't a law in our country, so consequently we don't have to follow it. I mean, that's not the case. Why should we shouldn't be there in the first place, I guess is what my point is, and we should get the hell out of there.
No, I agree. And like I said, our president and Clinton making that video, for example, and apologizing for what? Somebody made a video, it got over there, they chose to react violently on it. I'm sorry, it's just that there's videos that are made overseas that come over here. The there's movies over here. The most that happens is go, oh, I'm offended. Don't watch that, I'm offended.
Well,
there's no rioting in this sort of video.
I believe that this business about Clinton, Mrs. Clinton, that is, apologizing and doing this and that and the other, that's because she's being told to. I don't think it's that Obama understands that if he says this and he makes this statement and he makes this video, whatever, nobody's going to listen to him. Nobody's going to pay any attention. It's going to have to be done by somebody else. So I don't want to blame her for doing this kind of a thing when I believe it's his fault all the way. He should be pulling us out of that country. Why out of all those countries? I mean, why are we still there? Why are we making this huge inroads into these countries when we don't need to do it?
Well, what I would like to hear out of Obama's mouth is, I just
want to apologize for the last 4 years and all the turmoil that I put everybody through, and because of that, I think I'm going to, I've listened to you, and I'm going to just drop out.
No, we've already passed that point, I think, of him dropping out. I think it's just to this point just important that we listen to this first of the debates and find out what I'm just beside myself trying to figure out what's going to happen, because the idea is most of the country sits back and thinks that Obama's going to win these debates. If that's the case, we'll find out on the first one. And if we find out on the first one that he's winning these debates, we're lost. We've got to figure out. And the thing is, the problem is, I still don't believe that's going to make any difference in the people who run for different offices, the Senate and the House. They're going to still be running for office, and they're still going to change the rules there. And we're going to even leave Obama further out in the cold than we did before, because he won't cooperate. He won't listen to other people. And this business he had about cooperation in the beginning never did happen. Right from the start, it never did happen. And it's because Mr. Obama has a different idea of what the United States should be like. He has a different idea of where the United States should be going, and he's putting that idea on our back. And consequently, as long as we have him in office, we're going to have to accept it. So let's get him out of office, whether it be by voting him out of office this time or whether it be by expelling him some other way later on. But let's get him out of there.
Well, I don't know I got two important things to tell you. First of all, there's 20 minutes remaining in the program, and you can still join us by dialing 646-721-9887. The second thing is that I don't think that these debates are going to make any difference, because a lot of people are not going to watch them, and a lot of people are already in the mindset, from the few of them that I've already talked to, that they're going to get free health care. They're going to get free, you know, Obama's really pushing the food stamps. Oregon just made the number one, the highest country or highest state in the nation on food stamps. And so as long as people are going, what can I get out of this? They don't care what the debates are. They don't care about the issues. They're not interested in politics. And the few Obama supporters I've actually talked to, only one actually made a really good point. And he was concerned about the Supreme Court justices that were going to be assigned to the court. Other than that, that's all I've been hearing from other people. What can the president do for me?
Maybe that's our problem. Maybe that's, see, again, we're sitting back on our duff and letting somebody else do it. We're not doing it ourselves. And that's become the actual way of life in this country. We're fat and happy. And so, consequently, if that's the case, we're going to have to live with another 4 years of Obama, and another 4 years of Obama may be the end of our country as we know it.
Well, maybe what you just touched on, we had this in Oregon a couple of years back. I forget what the issue was, but at the rally that they had, and yes, it was a peaceful rally. Nobody burned anything or whatever, unlike over the videos. But one of the things that the speakers encouraged people to do is to encourage people to run for office. And they said that after speeches and stuff, if anybody's interested, we're going to set up this table over here, and we'll show you how you yourself can run for office and be part of the solution.
Well, the problem with that is it costs a huge amount of money to run for a public office, especially a national office, and it's not something that most people can do. I mean, unless we have somebody back us up and help us out, who's gonna be able to afford that?
Go ahead and continue for a second, Seth. I got to take a quick call. Sorry.
Well, basically, I mentioned who's going to be able to afford that. We've got to have one thing happen. There are a couple of things that have got to happen right away. But one of the things is some sort of revamping the position of how to run for office. We've got to, you know, revamp how we it costs so huge. Such a huge amount of money to pay for different advertising and different forms of advertising and to go different places and meet different people. It's a very expensive thing to try to run for an office, a national office, in this country. We've got to find some finance reforms, some way to reform how we do this in order to make it available to absolutely everyone. Supposedly, that was the whole idea of anybody could run for an office. Well, it's really not possible anymore to have anybody run for an office because not many people can afford that. And so we've got to figure out some way for campaign finance reform in order to make it available to absolutely everyone again. And I don't know exactly how we're going to do that, but that's something that I believe that Romney would probably be interested in doing. He's already mentioned that he knows, first of all, and when it comes to spending money, he spent huge amounts of money in trying to get to this place that he's at. And I wouldn't expect him to stop this soon. And he's gone a long ways, and he spent a huge lot of money. But it also, it takes away from your life. Your whole life has to go on hold to do this job for 4 years or 8 years or whatever it is you're going to do. And so you can't be doing something else and then continue on. You can't do that sort of thing. You can't continue with, if you have business, you've got to step aside because otherwise everybody considers you collusion or something.
Yeah, like going out and playing lots of golf and finding little hiding places in the White House so when you smuggle in that Big Mac that you don't want your wife to find out that you just bought.
Well, I think you should get some cojones and go ahead and eat the damn thing.
That's right. Well, it kind of looks bad. Now my wife is making everybody else limit their calories, but yeah, guys, got that pizza yet with the extra cheese and put a lot of bologna on there and pepperoni.
Well, a pizza is the absolute ultimate food. I mean, that's you could live on pizza. That's what I've been told.
Absolutely. And then you can wash it down with a nice beer called Ale to the Chief.
Something. I don't know. It's just, I don't think that Obama has the cojones to do much of anything. He just sits back. And the problem is he listens to the wrong people. He has his own opinion of what the economy and what the United States should be like. And so he only listens to those people. He doesn't listen to other people. And consequently, that's positively proven by the fact that when he went into the office to begin with, he did actually sit down with the different houses, the Supreme Court, and or not Supreme Court, but the Congress, and he listened, but if they didn't agree with him, he didn't pay attention to them. He did it his own way anyway. So consequently, you can figure he's not going to – that's why we're in the position we're in. Changing,
maybe you just hit on it. Maybe he has attention deficit.
Well, that's not impossible. I don't consider that a problem myself. I that's into another thing that I would be willing to debate on, because attention deficit. But he may have that, but I don't think he has that. I think he just has attention ignore. I mean, that's why exactly what I'll do this. I'll cooperate with this. I'll go along with this. Just give me your ideas and give me your opinions, and then he sits down and ignores them, and that's exactly what he's doing.
No, I think it's called the my ball syndrome.
What's that?
Okay, I was waiting for that. It's my ball. We're going to play it my way. Otherwise, I'm taking the ball home.
I would love to have you take the ball home. I mean, I'll even give you a ride home.
I feel like Mrs. Obama's comment a while back when she said she used to, even though the Secret Service hated her doing this, sometimes she would sneak out of the front doors of the White House to get away because she wanted her life back. And, of course, everybody's saying, yeah, we'd like you to take your husband with you. But despite that, 646-721-987.
Almost everybody who's been in the White House has done that, and especially the kids who are in the White House, they're not asked to be brought up in that particular solution. And it's a rough life because you have to have somebody with you at all times. I mean, how would you like to have it every time you decide to go downtown and hit a malt shop or whatever you want to do? You know, eight people are behind you and trailing behind you, watching what you do and watching everybody who does things with you. And anytime anybody approaches you and says, hi, how are you for this afternoon? Somebody comes up and takes them out. I mean, it's a rough life. I understand. But if you went to the process or through the process of working as hard as you did to get that office, you've got to do it and accept it. And if Mrs. what's her name, whoever it happens to be, that is in office, doesn't want to do that, then she can go live her own life. I mean, that's a possibility.
If I was the spouse of the president or a president, let me put it that way, and I had Secret Service following me, I think I'd mess with them. You know, if I went down to like the Kmart or whatever, I might go approach a police officer and say, hey, you see those guys back there? I think I'm being followed.
She probably does. I wouldn't put it past her, and she's smart enough. Actually, I think she's a lot smarter than the president. We won't get into that. But the point is, if she wants out, she could get out, and she could divorce him for that matter, or just you know, an estrangement. She could live somewhere else. She doesn't have to live there.
She takes one of the smaller. She takes Air Force Two and takes all of her friends, and they go off on excursion paid for by the taxpayers. So. Huh.
Well, I still say that's a small amount of money to worry about. We've got $1 trillion in debt every year, adding up, you know, $400,000 or $500,000 to take an airplane someplace. That's no big thing. It does add up. I understand, and we've had it at it for four solid years that we're doing this, but. Actually, every president does that because they have to go someplace. It's a huge amount of disruption into life. If you think about all the preparations they do, no matter where they go, whether it's officially or unofficially, everywhere they go, it's a huge thing.
Well, yeah, and they just can't run down to Hertz, rent a car, and pick up a vehicle. They have to air flight, I don't know. What do we call the president's car? One or something? I don't know. What is the name for the president's car? Send us an email on that one. Talk at krvnradio.com if you know the answer to that.
That's it. Whatever car they're in, that's it. It doesn't make a difference. The Air Force One and helicopter has a name, but I don't know the car does.
Yeah. Who knows? Maybe, I don't know. No, I'm not going to say it. But, yeah, you know, they got to go in advance. You know, Secret Service has to do their thing, and they got to airlift the vehicles and then all the entourage and then everything else that goes along to go with that. And it's quite an endeavor. And plus the fact Secret Service has to have their own rooms and their midnight call service. And
just think of all that you have to go through because, you know, to do all that sort of thing, let's face it, you've got to have, you say they need to have their own room. Well, then they've got to put this in advance, you know, this whole business about wiping all of the guests and running them out of the hotel room just so you can take over the hotel because they want to take over the hotel, entire hotel. They don't want to just take over a floor of it because people could come in. They want the entire hotel at their disposal. So, you know, this takes a lot of cooperation amongst everyone in order to get what you're looking for. So it's a huge event to have the president come to your town or your city or your state or whatever, and it's a lot of involvement. I would hate to be the one who has to make arrangements to everything for everything that's going on. That's got to be quite a staff to put in charge of that.
Oh, yeah, it's quite an undertaking. And like you say, a disruption wherever they go to, it's a disruption on the city streets and especially, you know, if you if you gotta get to work on time. I'm sorry, sir. I'm sorry I'm a half hour late to work, but I got delayed because of the president.
Well, and the ridiculous thing is they'll mark out two different routes and they'll mark them off and stop the traffic in all directions on those two different routes. He may not take one of those routes. And so you may have been late for work for no reason at all because he didn't take that particular route that day.
But that's the safety and security thing.
Doesn't have a difference when you're late for work.
Well, yeah. Is you send him a note saying, can you send me a note? Actually, Obama did that with one of his speeches. There was a kid that was missing class, and so Obama actually wrote him an excuse. If the kid was smart, he did not turn in the original copy of that, and he'll save that for 20 years down the road where somebody will want to buy that.
And now 50 million school kids are going to have right to the White House to get an excuse.
Yeah, it'd just be like back in Welcome Back Carter days where Horshack or whatever was making all these, not excuse, Juan, was making all these excuses. You know, his mother died about 15 times.
Yeah. Really.
For those people that don't know what we're talking about, go look it up. We're old. 646-721-9887, 7 minutes remaining in the program. Still time to get your calls in or whatever you'd like to talk about. It is easy to do. We've had Bob do that earlier on. He was listening on this number as well, 646-721-9887. He pushed 1 on his cell phone, and it came up on my board, and I said, welcome area code so-and-so. Very easy. If you've never called a talk show before, this is a great venue to do so. Even though we're just a little pea in the pod, so to speak, we are getting noticed and getting some pretty good numbers, and that's all because of you.
And sometimes all of that technology actually works, and you actually almost always you'll get in, but whether we're there or not, it's really amazing how all of this works together and sometimes doesn't.
Yeah, and sometimes, you know, back to the old technology, we've got two cans with a string. Well, you know, sometimes we let go of that string and gets a little slack and it doesn't work as well. So just because we're too cheap to upgrade. 646-721-9887. And again, always feel free to send us emails on anything except for Viagra.
Yeah, we'll even answer the emails if you send us something that we're interested in talking about, and we'll invite you on the show if you want to send us an email about a subject that you want to talk about, and just put your phone number in there. We'd be happy to call you if you want to call.
Yeah, if time restraints are that, or send us an audio and we'll play it on the air. But of course, you know, follow the guidelines. Has to be clean, no cussing. You know the routine. But I tell you, we got in the 5 minutes left. You wanted to touch on the Emmys real quick, so that's the last thing on my list.
I was a little upset about the Emmys because they didn't pick on things people could watch. About three quarters of the Emmys, 75% of the Emmys, was about programs that were on pay TV. And I don't have pay TV. I don't watch pay TV. I can't afford to pay TV because I'm poor. And so consequently, Homeland, which is, I guess, is a Showtime, and the others are, I didn't know who they were. And there's a couple of programs that were on TV that I did watch that the people won. One was John Cryer. Won an Emmy for the first. I think this is his second Emmy, but they've been long and far between. And but I was really upset that they went on and on and on for probably 2 hours, maybe not quite that long, but pretty close to that, talking about people. I mean, sometimes I knew the actors and actresses, but I had not seen the program that they were on. So we got to come with some way of making pay TV. Not pay TV, or maybe I don't know. The only thing that I heard was Dexter. Okay, Dexter is on broadcast TV now somewhere. I mean, I've been able to get that and watch it, but it started out on pay TV, and then maybe they should run them for two or three years or whatever, and then make them available to everybody as what they're available to. But it's. You know, it's the Emmy Awards, I guess, I will have to say, it says, well, the question was asked, Emmy Awards 2012, irrelevant or just plain fun? Well, neither one. The jokes, they've got every writer in the world, the best writers in the world are sitting right in front of you in that audience, and yet their writing is terrible. It was just absolutely horrible. The jokes were not funny. The people who were presenting them were not funny. The guy who was hosting the show was not funny, as far as I can tell. So consequently, I watched the whole show because I wanted to be able to talk about it, but I don't bother to talk about it because it just really wasn't worth it to talk about it because it's nothing worth talking about. There were three or four shows that I could have liked to have seen win awards, and they didn't. And then a whole bunch of shows that maybe they're really good shows. I don't know, but I can't watch them because they're not free. Free TV is – maybe they should have an Emmy Awards for free TV and an Emmy Awards for not free TV. I don't know. There's got to be some way around this. But the way they're doing it now, I just don't think that's the way. That's all I want to say.
Yeah, okay. I was getting ready to sneeze. Now, who knows? They say that it costs so much now to put anything on television. Maybe there just isn't the interest of people. I mean, I haven't cared about the Emmys, to be honest with you, in a long time. But then again, I don't have time to watch a lot of movies or television. In fact, where I'm at right now, I don't even have a TV.
Well, I do watch it, and I get a little bit of entertainment out of it. But this was just a very poorly done show, and just entirely a poorly run show. They just ignored a lot of things that were, I think, important as far as the rest of the world is concerned, and stuck. You know, it's just too much of the pay-per-view, I guess, that you want to call it, HBO and. Showtime, and I guess we're on this too. I was not happy with it.
Well, in fact, you know, maybe I feel the way about it because we did not, when we're not even nominated for the best internet talk show on the internet, so.
Then the whole thing is moot.
Yeah, the whole thing is moot right there. But maybe next year, you know, we'll get nominated or something, so who knows. But anyways. This is all the time we got, folks. Thank you for tuning in and joining us. Again, we'll be back next Monday, 1 p.m. Pacific time. If you're listening to the show in the archives, you know, feel free to send us an email anytime, talk@caribbeanradio.com. We'll see you next week.
If you like today's show, please let us know by visiting us on Facebook and clicking on the like button. You can also get show updates on Twitter and on our website at www.krbnradio.com. This is KRBN, Internet News Talk Radio.